Google Chrome is the most popular browser, but if you're just using the basic version, vanilla Chrome, you're missing out on some key features. These features, known as extensions, can make you more productive, help you get more done in less time, and have more time to write. So, what are those extensions that can help make you more productive and even a better writer? We'll find out in this episode of Novel Marketing, the longest running book marketing podcast in the world. I'm Thomas Umstead Jr., CEO of Author Media, and this is the show for writers who want to build their platform, sell more books, and make a living writing books worth talking about. And I should point out before we get started that many of these Chrome extensions also exist for Firefox, Edge, and Safari. So even if you don't use Chrome, hopefully this episode will be useful. So what is a Chrome extension? Well, it's like an app that you install into your browser to add some cool functionality. And the number one Chrome extension that I recommend is Grammarly. Grammarly fixes your grammar on the fly, and I recommend paying for Grammarly. In fact, I recommend paying for everything that you use. We need to get away from this mindset that we should use things that are free, because if you're using something that's free, you are not the customer, you're the product being sold. I just recently heard that many of the free tax websites sell your tax returns to Facebook. So Meta now has your tax return. If you didn't pay to file your tax return, your data is being sold. Your privacy is for sale when you're not the customer. Sometimes your privacy is for sale even when you aren't the customer. But paying for Grammarly doesn't just make you the customer, but it also gives you the much better version of Grammarly. So why is Grammarly so much better than just using Chrome's default spell checker? Well, it's because it checks for more than just correct spelling. It tightens your sentences. It helps you be more clear. And it also checks your tone, right? Have you ever accidentally sent an email that came across as angry when you weren't angry? Well, Grammarly can check that for you. In fact, it just today put a little angry face underneath one of my sentences. And it's like, did you mean this to sound angry? I'm like, no, this is a happy email. And it suggested a way for me to easily fix it. Now, what's nice about using Grammarly as a Chrome extension is that it doesn't just work when you're, say, at Gmail or Yahoo sending an email, but it also works when you're on social media or when you're on authormedia.social posting or writing in your blog or sending an email newsletter to your email newsletter list. Most of the times when you need Grammarly, at least most of the times when I need Grammarly, are in Chrome. And so it's nice that it integrates with Chrome so easily. And I'll say for each one of these extensions, I'll have a link to add them to your Chrome browser if you want to give them a shot. The second extension I recommend is 1Password. 1Password is another paid service that's an encrypted password vault. And I've used 1Password for maybe decades now, definitely more than a decade. And what's great about 1Password is that it captures your passwords and stores them so you can have a unique password for every website. So the famous 23andMe hack that happened recently wasn't actually 23andMe getting hacked and releasing people's private DNA information. It was just hackers using passwords that people had used on other websites. They use the same password on more than one website. And so now the hacker has their secret DNA information that can never get unshared. If only those people had used a unique password. So you're like, well, why don't I just use Chrome's default password saver? It's like, well, for one, I don't trust Google with my passwords. And for two, that only works in Chrome. What happens if you're on Safari on your phone or if you're wanting to use Edge? The nice thing about 1Password is that it works across all of my devices and across all of my browsers. So I have access to my passwords and I have one super strong password that unlocks the encrypted vault. This is a much more secure system than your system of trying to remember the passwords in your head. That is a bad system because, one, you're not going to remember the usernames, which you also have to remember, right? Was this a username? Was this an email? Was it your other email? Was it your other email? Which combination was it with your password? The number one customer support issue that I face every week is people struggling with passwords, and none of those people have 1Password. Once you get this app, all of your password problems go away. It makes not just your life easier. It's like a spa every day and stress reduction. It also makes the life easier of all of the tech people in your life. And I really do recommend that you have a unique password for every website. It's really irresponsible to reuse passwords, or to have a password and you have make different versions of that same password. I do not recommend that. That is a recipe for trouble. The third extension that I recommend is Keepa, K-E-E-P-A. I'll have a link again in the blog post version of this episode at authormedia.com/401. What is cool about Keepa is that it tracks the historical price of products on Amazon, and it now supports ebooks and audiobooks. So I've been using it for years because it helps me know if a product is really on sale or not every Black Friday. I try not to buy anything on my phone where I don't have Keepa, and I wait to check to see if the Black Friday price is actually a sale price or not. Sometimes the Black Friday price is higher than the normal price. And it's also nice to see a graph of the of a product's price and to see whether it's trending up, whether it's trending down. Is it high right now as a fluke, or is it low right now as a fluke? So it's useful as a customer, but it's also really useful for doing competitive research, right? If you're competing against a handful of authors and you want to see how they've been pricing their books and, you know, see if they've raised their prices or lowered their prices, and if they've been playing with their price, Keepa will give you a chart for every book on Amazon to see what that product's price has been doing. Is it going up? Is it going down? Is it staying the same? It's really useful to have that information. And I really enjoy being able to see historical price information. And I really wish Amazon made this information public, because you wouldn't have to use an extension like Keepa to get it. But I've been very happy with Keepa to help inform my purchases. And when I make recommendations on authormedia.social about things being on sale, I use Keepa to inform me to make sure that they really are on sale. Now, the fourth extension is Adblock. I think this is the most popular extension. You probably already use it. It turns off advertisements, and it makes websites run faster, and it also makes them a little bit more secure. You do need to turn it off because occasionally it will break websites. So I actually don't use Adblock personally, but I know a lot of authors who really like it, and it does make life a lot easier. And if you're the kind of person who goes to, say, news websites, they're almost unusable without Adblock. I find that news sites really have distracting and disorienting ads. So many ads, it's hard to read the content, and Adblock can help with that. But what helps with it even more is our fifth extension called Just Read. Just Read, when you turn it on for a page, it turns that page basically into a PDF. It takes all of the information away except the content. And I'm often stunned just how short a blog post or a news article is once you take away all the ads and all the other things wrapped around the content. It makes reading the content a whole lot easier. I don't think you need both of those, but I would experiment with Just Read and experiment with Adblock and see if they help make your life better and help reduce distractions. The sixth app is OpenSEO Stats. This is more for, I would say, webmasters than for authors, but I felt obligated to include it here because it's, I think, of all of these, the one that I use the second most. Well, probably third most. I think I use 1Password the most, Grammarly the second most, and then OpenSEO Stats third. It's really good for giving you information about a website, your website or somebody else's. It lets you at a glance see the meta title, meta description, H1 and H2 tags. When I'm reviewing websites on a patrons only call or on an office hours, this is a go-to. And it's the most common question, like, how are you getting that information so quickly and easily? It's like, oh, it's OpenSEO Stats. It is a paid plugin now. There's a free version that's crippled. It looks up DNS. It will tell you who built the website, and you can see what kind of technology the website's running, all at just a couple of clicks. So I really like OpenSEO Stats. I wanted to add a extension here because there's a common extension for kind of blocking your access to websites for a period of time to help you focus, but I couldn't find any that didn't invade your privacy too much. So Google's real transparent in the Chrome store what information the different extensions have access to. And every one of the block websites extensions that I saw was pretty invasive. And so I don't feel good recommending any in specific, but I will recommend them as a category. And if you're okay using them, or if you find a good paid one, do leave a comment under this post if you have one that you're happy with. I love the idea of saying, you know, I can't visit Facebook or Twitter or X for an hour, right? And I can just write. That sort of thing is really helpful. And I will say, when I was talking earlier about H1 tags and H2 tags in your website, if any of that was overwhelming or if you didn't know what I was talking about, I actually have a free course to help you. It's called How to Build Amazing Author Websites. And it walks you through how to build a website if you've never built one yourself. But if you do have a website, it walks you through how to make it better, how to make it the kind of website that readers want to visit and the kind of website that helps you grow your email list. If you have a small email list, your website is actually likely the primary culprit. And if you want to grow your email list, making your website better is the number one place to start. Definitely the cheapest place to start. Before we go, I have to tell a story of my daughter. My wife and I were cleaning the kitchen after dinner last night, and my daughter came in offering to sell us some pretzels. So apparently she'd put a bunch of small pretzels into these little Ziploc baggies, and she was pretending to be an entrepreneur selling them. And, you know, we turned her down, and she was sad. She's like, "No one wants to buy my pretzels." And I'm like, "This is an opportunity for me to teach my five-year-old some marketing skills." So I'm like, "Well, the key to selling something is to offer people what they want when they want it." And I was like, "What did we just get finished doing?" My daughter's like, "Eating dinner." I was like, "That's right. And after dinners, everyone is full from dinner and it's not a good time to sell pretzels." So she paused for a moment. She's like, "Okay, I guess I'll just sell them to the boys." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And I follow her to the other room to see my 2-year-old and 4-year-old sons munching away on pretzels that they had quote unquote bought from my daughter. I think they bought these bags of pretzels with pretend money, but it underlined something that's actually an even more powerful principle than selling people what they want when they want it. And that is understanding your target audience. You see, my daughter understood her target audience better than I did. Because it turns out that the boys had not enjoyed my cooking nearly as much as I thought they had, and they were still hungry after dinner, unlike my wife and I, who were full, because we did like the adult cooking with all the complex flavors, but they wanted simple flavors. They wanted salt and pretzel flavor. And my entrepreneurial daughter had seized on the market opportunity and made her some quick fake bucks selling pretzels to her brothers. So often on podcasts like this one, you get general advice, and that's good. It's good to get general advice. It's good to understand marketing principles, but it's not a replacement for doing the work to get to know your target reader, or who I call Timothy. And I'll link to my episode all about getting to know your Timothy in the blog post version of this episode at authormedia.com/401. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what works for other authors and their readers. What matters is what works for you and your Timothy. So it's important to measure. It's important to experiment, and it's important to know who you're targeting. Because if you're trying to sell pretzels to adults, you want to not do it right after dinner. But if you're trying to sell pretzels to a 2-year-old right after a dinner he didn't like, may actually be the very best time. If you're trying to target nursing women, 2 a.m. may actually be the best time to be on social media, but not the best time for most other people. Our featured patron today is Peter DeHaan, author of Women of the Bible. The Bible is filled with stories of fascinating women. Dig into their lives to uncover how these remarkable women rise above their circumstances in a society that too often pushes them down. The audiobook is narrated by none other than James L. Rubart, former co-host of the Novel Marketing Podcast. And Peter DeHaan, thank you so much for being a patron of the podcast. Thank you for your financial support that keeps these episodes coming every week. I could not do this without you and the other patrons that support the show. And if you would like to become a patron of Novel Marketing, you can do so at authormedia.com/patron. And the Novel Marketing Podcast is a production of authormedia.com. William Umstadt did the audio editing. The blog post is by Shauna Lettler, and you can find that blog version of this episode at authormedia.com/401. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr. saying thank you for listening, and live long and prosper.